Hi, my name is Caitlin Dean. Today I'm joined by Alan Gates. Alan is a well-known business owner and also a heart attack survivor. He's here to share his story. Hi, Alan.
Hello, how are you, Caitlin?
Oh, I'm very well, thanks. Thanks so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Now, get right to it. Walk me through the day of your heart attack.
Well, it was not a great Tuesday, I can tell you that much. I woke up in the middle of the night. I thought I had indigestion, which turns out is a very common heart attack symptom that people think they're having indigestion. So I kind of went downstairs to not disturb my wife. I watched TV for a couple hours, slept on and off, didn't really feel good, but just assumed it was something minor. Decided to work from home that day because of I hadn't had much sleep. Was on a conference call with a client in Halifax and started to feel very bad. And during this course of the conference call, I started Googling heart attack symptoms. And when I checked the fifth or sixth one off, I thought it was probably time to go to the hospital.
And how did you handle that in the moment? Did you wait for the conference call to end or did you just say, time to go?
Yeah, I'm kind of embarrassed to say I did wait for the conference call to end, and I didn't take very good notes, so we'll say I looked back at my notes a couple of weeks later, and they were not very comprehensive. So I don't think my mind was really in it, but I kind of hung up the phone from the folks in Halifax, and I ended up driving myself to the St. John Regional Hospital, to the ER, and the story went on from there.
Right. And when did this happen?
This was on August 20th, 2019, so about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now.
Now, tell me about your lifestyle before the heart attack.
Well, I was probably, you know, I did speak with one of the cardiologists afterwards, and I asked them, what caused this? Is there any definitive cause? And they said, basically, you don't know. It's part of its bad luck of your genetics, part of its lifestyle things like stress and poor diet. And I had both those things probably more than I should have. So I wasn't, you know, it wasn't hugely surprising that it ended up happening, I guess, in retrospect, but at the time it came as quite a shock.
And how has your lifestyle changed since? I mean, you can't change genetics, those are what they are, but have you taken steps to change anything?
Yeah, I mean, I ended up going through the cardiac rehab program at the St. John Regional Hospital, which was quite good, just kind of an educational program with a bunch of other folks. And I think, you know, since the heart attack, I've been a little more mindful of my diet, certainly trying to not get as stressed in work. Just before the heart attack happened, I was running two companies, so Bonfire and Huddle Today, you know, at the same time. And it was quite stressful in retrospect, and trying to be a little more chill about things so that stuff doesn't kind of sneak up on you.
Now, tell me more about you called it the cardiac recovery or cardiac rehab?
Yeah, it was cardiac rehab. It's a program that they have for people that have suffered heart attacks or, you know, had bypass surgery or things of that nature, to help them kind of get through recovery and understand what to do differently and how to manage the disease going forward. And the one thing that really struck me from that, that really stuck with me, is I think it might have been one of the nutritionists who said, if you don't take time for your wellness, you'll have to take time for your illness. And that's something that's kind of stuck with me and I think is kind of influencing how I'm thinking about this going forward. So, you know, got to find time to, you know, eat vegetables, get good groceries, get healthier food, not default to, you know, a burger and fries every time you go out for lunch. Take time to go to the gym or to work out or at least go for a long walk with the dog just to get more exercise. So that's kind of some of the changes I've been making.
Now, you know, it's great that we can make these changes on our own, but what can municipalities, particularly St. John and the province of New Brunswick, do to promote these healthy lifestyles?
Well, I'm a big believer in trails as a kind of a good lifestyle advantage, as something that can help people kind of get out and about and exercise. And I used to live in Ottawa, and they had a wonderful trail system there where you could bike around and walk around and rollerblade around all over the city without, you know, being in the middle of traffic. So near my house in Quispamsis, there's a nice little trail that a lot of people use. So I think, you know, province-wide municipalities should think about kind of that active transportation component, making it easier for people to bike, to walk, to run as a way of life and not just something you do at the gym.
Right. Now, I don't know you particularly well, but I know that you're not a particularly old person, and I know it's impolite to ask an age, but were you surprised at how early your heart attack came?
Yes and no. I guess, you know, when I was in the hospital in the cardiac ICU, I kept waiting for someone to say, but you're so young. You know, oh, it's such a shame this happened to you. You're so young. No one said that. I don't think I was particularly young. I thought I was at the time, but, you know, now I realize it's actually not all that uncommon for people in their 40s to suffer cardiac problems. So I was 48 when it happened, or 49, I guess, when it happened, so almost 50. Now, I wasn't hugely surprised, in part because my mother and father both had heart issues, and that's the kind of genetic stuff at play. My mother had retired as a nurse in the Miramichi on a Friday and had a heart attack on a Monday, ended up coming to the St. John Regional Hospital to the cardiac care unit there for a quadruple bypass, and then lived very happily and comfortably for another 20 years after that. So, you know, there's certainly great care available. And my father had a congenital heart defect, which was what actually killed him. So I guess it wasn't a huge surprise to, you know, that that would come for me. I probably thought I had another 10 or 20 years maybe before it would have become a reality for me.
Right. Now, speaking of care, tell me about the care you received. Once you drove yourself to the hospital, what happened then, or what do you remember?
Yeah, I called my wife and I said, why don't you try to meet me at the hospital? So that was a fun conversation. I would say the drive up to Foster Thurston is a little bit hazy. I don't quite remember all of that. But I got to the ER, I parked, walked in. My wife just happened to arrive as I was walking in, and we walked in together, and I walked right up to the triage nurse and said, I think I'm having a heart attack. And they sprung immediately into action. Just a tremendous immediate response, which was kind of scary, to be honest, because I knew, okay, this must be serious, right? It must be something real if they're putting all this energy into it when you have a waiting room filled with people waiting for care. So almost immediately, they took me into the back. There was no bed available, so they had me in the hall in a wheelchair, took my shirt off, put electrodes on me, started shaving my chest, and kind of had me in a procedure room and getting two stents put in my heart about 30 minutes later. So the response was instantaneous. The care was amazing. I know people like to, you know, criticize the healthcare system in New Brunswick or in Canada and say that it's slow or not very good. I'll tell you, when you need it, it is 100% there. And I was really struck by the professionalism of the doctors and the nurses in the cardiac unit. I felt just in tremendously good hands.
What do you remember? Because you're awake when a stent is put in, correct?
Yeah, you are, which is a weird feeling. They kind of put a little incision in your wrist and then feed the tube up the vein in your arm into your heart, so you can kind of feel it going through. You're fairly heavily drugged at that point with pain medication and then probably some anti-anxiety drugs as well. I don't know. They threw a lot of stuff at me, but I'm staring at the screen, the monitor that the doctor's looking at or the surgeon's looking at, and I'm trying to understand what am I seeing, right? It's not super clear. And he was saying, do you feel better now? Do you feel worse now? Didn't feel better right away. I guess some people, once the stent goes in, they have kind of an immediate response. I didn't have that. I felt quite bad for a few hours after. But you were certainly wide awake and part of the process. And I don't know that I was mentally prepared for that, but it was certainly an experience.
If you were to give one piece of advice to healthcare providers, what would it be?
You know, I think one thing that they did, I play hockey in Rosay with some of the folks that are doctors at the regional, some of the cardiologists. And Dr. Lechmidiel is a guy I played hockey with. He's a great guy. He happened to see my name go up on a board somewhere and came to check on it. On me and saw my wife there and kind of talked her through the process and gave her some information and was a great comfort to her, because you can imagine that it's pretty stressful for your partner or your spouse in that situation if they watch you being carted away. And, you know, I'll never forget the look on my wife's face when they said, your husband's having a heart attack. It was pretty stressful for her. So I think, you know, taking care of, the family and the spouses, and they do that, obviously, but, you know, their priority is, of course, with the patient. So if there's a way to just, you know, walk people through what's happening, what's the timeline, when will you'll expect to get news, things like that, I think it would be really helpful to families to kind of process what's happening to their loved one.
Right. So more for the person waiting for you as for you than for you yourself.
I thought the care I received, and I've said this already, but I'll say it again because it bears repeating, the care I received was just outstanding. I just could not get over the competence of the healthcare professionals at the regional. They were just really, really quality people, really top of their game, and I felt in such good hands the whole time I was there.
And how long were you in the hospital for?
I was in the hospital for a week, and most of that in the ICU. And after, you're pretty wiped out for a few days, and then you kind of get bored and you want to go home. I was anxious to get home, but I certainly, took a bit of time before I went back to work just to kind of recover from the experience, catch my breath a little bit, and figure out a game plan. But life goes on, and I did hear that, from the cardiologist that this doesn't mean, I'm gonna, my life will be shorter than anybody else's, or that I can't do the things I did before. I'm continuing to be monitored and so forth, and I take a mouthful of pills every day, but otherwise, life got back to normal fairly quickly.
Now, did you have any pre-existing conditions before the heart attack, blood pressure, anything like that?
I did have high blood pressure, and it's something my mother was always pestering me to watch out for, so thank goodness for her. So I was on a medication for high blood pressure, and probably a month or two prior, I had worn the basically it's a 24-hour blood pressure cuff to measure your kind of blood pressure up and down over the day. But the day I happened to get it installed happened to be an incredibly stressful day at work, and I got this. I thought it was a skewed result. It might not have been in hindsight, but I thought it, maybe it wasn't that bad just because it had been a very stressful day, and that's probably what the issue was. So I'd been under some a doctor's care and was taking some medication for blood pressure, but that probably doesn't stop the clot in your heart. So
Now, if you were to talk to a friend or a colleague or someone you know who had a similar lifestyle to you, what advice would you give them? Would you ever say anything to them?
Well, I've talked about it with a few of my friends that are, in the same kind of age bracket and have, reasonably stressful jobs. I think everybody has stresses in their life and stresses in their jobs. It's not certainly unique to me. We all face this stress every day. I think it's a question of how do you process that stress? What do you do to kind of manage it? Exercise is a great stress reliever. It also makes you healthier. So I think that, doing things like that to exercise not only for the health benefits, but also for the stress reduction benefits, I think is good. And even just going for a walk, started doing more walks, partly because of the pandemic. Couldn't do much else for a while, but we would walk a fair bit as a family, or we'd take our dog for a long walk on the Kuspansis trails where I live, and just try to manage it that way. So I guess, I would tell a friend, A, it could happen to you. Don't think it couldn't. This did kind of come out of the blue and blindside me. And as I said, it probably shouldn't have been the surprise it was, but it was quite a surprise at the time. And then, make sure you manage your health. As I said at the outset, that saying they said from cardiac rehab, if you don't take time for your wellness, you'll have to take time for your illness. So if you're not going to, proactively take care of your health, you're going to have to reactively take care of your illness like I did. And I think there's probably a better way to do that.
Now, you talked about your wife's face when you were being taken away after being diagnosed with a heart attack. How has she been in your recovery, and how has the rest of your family taken this?
Well, I have two sons as well, and it's hard on everybody, right? I know my wife was quite concerned, and she was, helped me get through it. I couldn't have done it without her, of course. It's been a challenge for the family, but she's been very attentive to me, how am I feeling. She was kind of probably more worried about a follow-up heart attack than I was. I think most heart attack victims are given a liquid nitroglycerin in case you get any other symptoms. She always keeps that in her purse, and she's always keeping an eye on me. So she's a great partner and caregiver in that way. And my kids, were a little freaked out by it, as you would expect. It's kind of scary to see your dad in a hospital bed. I'd never been in a hospital in their lives. I don't think I've been in a hospital since I was a kid, for anything. To see me kind of pale and lots of tubes coming out of me was a little bit unnerving for them. So, but we got through it, and we kind of bounced back, and we're just trying to live a little calmer, healthier life as a result.
Well, that's just excellent. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to say thank you to the St. John Regional Hospital and the UMB Heart Center and all the folks that work there, the doctors and the nurses. I just was really struck by the quality of the care I received. These people are tremendous professionals. They are compassionate. They really know their stuff, and I really felt safe in their hands. There was, a period of time I thought, geez, I could die here. It took me a second to realize it, but they saved my life, and I don't think it's hyperbole to say that. So I just want to say thank you to them for the good work they did for me and the good work they do for people from across New Brunswick every day.
Well, thanks so much, Alan.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure chatting with you as well. This has been the Project Impart podcast. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, join the solution with Impart.